Well, a desire and interest in your prayers this evening. Nothing like feeling like the little boy with the lunch that he brought to Jesus. So what I have this evening, if I would try to just tell you how eloquent I have of a thought or how astounding it would be, I would tell you I feel like I have a couple small fish and just a few loaves. And I know the Lord can take that and be a blessing to a multitude, just like he did when he was here. And so I desire an interest in your prayers. I'd like to turn to Psalms 73. And like to look at this chapter this evening. The thing that is weighing on my heart this evening is the reality of life. The reality of where I live and where you live. And the things that we face on a daily basis. This year at Christmas time, we like to get the congregation something, and Anita and I were traveling, actually, and realized that someone is publishing the book, A Celestial Pilgrimage, in a hardback, and we decided to get each family in the congregation a copy of that, and I would like to suggest that if you haven't ever read that book, that you would get that book and read it. It's a book that's similar in storyline to Pilgrim's Progress. And I've been reading it again myself. I think those kind of books sometimes is as good to read multiple times, just like it is to read the Scripture. And not that I put it on the same level as the Scripture by any means, but the inspiration behind those storylines, they're both an allegory, is one that relates the passage of the life of a man that gets renamed as Christian, and by the grace and the help of the Lord, I want to be one of those. I want to be a Christian in the world that I live in, the generation that I live in, and I believe you want to be one of those too, or you wouldn't be here tonight. So I find in these stories, and I find in real life, that there's some bumps in the road. There's some hills called difficulty. There's some veils of tears. There's some times that we feel like that we have come to maybe a place in the road that could be called Vanity Fair or Vanity Town. There could be different things that we can relate to on a personal level when we read these storylines. So I'm reminded of that and would like to look into Psalms 73. And notice at the beginning it says, a psalm of Asaph. And I believe there's like 15 psalms that's accredited to Asaph in the book of Psalms. And some feel like that maybe this refers to a man in particular. And it may be. And it may be that he is just the one that transcribed the words that was being sung. There were those that were known as the Asaphites, like Israelites, but they were those that sung in the temple. And maybe it's some songs that were sung in the temple. Obviously, it's been through translation, as mentioned earlier. Most likely, it was written in Hebrew originally. And by the time we get it down to English, there's always a possibility that there could be some words that's maybe a little bit distorted, but I think there's a message here that we could really get a hold of. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to each is that even to such as are of a clean heart. And for our discussion tonight, I would have to say that just as God was good to literal Israel, I believe God is good to spiritual Israel tonight. I've been young, and now I'm having to embrace the idea that I'm old. There's things that it lines up with me being old, whether I want to think that or not. So it says here that God is good to Israel. And through the course of my life, I'm very grateful for the heritage of being raised in a wholesome environment and being brought to settings such as this and being subjected to good influences in my life. And I really, really appreciate that. But it has not kept me from being exposed to the elements around us. But I can testify that the Lord has been good to me. He's been good to His people down through the course of my small time here on earth. But we notice that the tone of the writer here and the tone of this song, if it is such, seems to change with verse 2. It says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that, but you'll find that the Christian in those books that I referred to earlier found himself in those places along the path of life. He found himself in some places in both stories. They're not exactly the same, but they're very similar with the beginning and the ending conclusion of the book. And it says, "For me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." And I don't know where you're at today, but I'm really thankful that you took the time to come to this setting at this time, because there's many other things you could have chosen to do, but you made a conscious decision to come here. Maybe you came because somebody invited you. Maybe you knew that it's just a thing that would please somebody else, maybe a family member, and maybe you didn't have any intention of really paying a whole lot of attention when you came, but we're glad you're here. And we notice here, maybe you're one of those that your feet has slipped. Maybe you never really had a good footing. Maybe you didn't have a heritage that instructed you in the path that you should have gone. Maybe you did, and it's slipped away from you. And you're on a slippery slope. I had an experience here recently with my grandchildren. Got in one of these aired-up maze things where you could go through this nylon thing with a big fan blowing air into it. And part of the obstacle course in there was to scramble up this hill designed for younger people and then go down a slide on the other side. And I took my shoes off and I'm in my sock feet. And I realized that I couldn't get up that. I had to pull my socks off to be able to get enough traction to get up that little hill. But I was determined to do it because, you know, when you have a two-year-old grandson there, he wants Papa to go up there with him. So you may be in a slippery place. You may have lost your footing. And you may not be able to see how that you can go up the obstacle that's in front of you right now. It says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." I'm old enough to realize that whatever significant accomplishments in this old world that I'm going to do, I better be well on the way, because I'm missing my opportunity. And it's easy for someone in my age bracket to look around and wonder, what I could have done if I'd have let my energies be focused on something a little bit different than what I have. He says, this, the writer says, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. That's a temptation for all of us, but I would say if you're in my age bracket, that's something that you have to deal with. It's easy to lose your footing and think, maybe I should have chosen a different path. Maybe I should have invested. Maybe if you're a younger person than I, you feel that you have to abandon some of your integrity so that you can really get some traction in this old world. I'm going to tell you, that's a slippery place to get in, because the verse I started with said that God is good to Israel. God is good to those that are part of his spiritual body tonight. And it says here, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. It looks like there's nothing that hinders them. It looks like there's nothing that impedes their progress and their success. He says they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. You ever have any troubles? Scripture says that mankind that's born in this world, that's my words, says men born of a woman, is few days and full of trouble. Well, I know what trouble's like, a little bit anyway. I know what it's like to put effort into something and see it go wrong. I told at least Brother Ivan this earlier. He was in on it. I generally bring my camper to Guthrie, and I needed to do some repairs, and I made the repairs, and had driven my truck just a few miles, 50 miles or so, and was talking to my wife on the phone when I come into the driveway, and was sitting there after I shut the engine off, and I heard something snap and a thud, and I got out to look. I told her what I thought it was before I looked, and a bolt had broke and come flying off of the engine and hit something else. After it was shut off, it wasn't even running. So that's deflating. Yeah, when troubles come, it says these people that you're envious of seem like they've disregarded putting God first, and everything seems to be going good. There doesn't seem to be any restrictions on them. They seem to just be profitable all around. They're not in trouble. It says, therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. That's a verse I kind of wrestled with a little bit. It says here, pride compasseth them about as a chain. In the translation there, it seems like the word chain is referring to some kind of signification of authority, or almost, we might say, a gold chain or a some emblem or something that would designate them as important, as someone that's really achieved a lot. And he says here, their pride compasses them as a chain. It's something that's on display to those that might look on. And violence covereth them as a garment. There's things that they feel that they are above. Isn't that so true in the world today? There are those that are in positions of leadership, and they feel like there's no authority above them. And the things that they have to do to get what they want, it seems like it's just, they're not, nothing is brings any kind of constraint on them. And all of this, this whole thing here is all part of the observation of the writer. It seems to be a song that they sang. The ones that sang it seem to be ones that would have had a high level of integrity, sang maybe in the temple. And you know, those of us that's been coming around for years, we can be in a place where we feel like our steps are getting slippery. And we can feel that we're being drawn away. You know, the enemy wants to get us all in an isolated place where we feel like Everywhere we look, everybody's doing better than we are. Happier, more prosperous, contentment. Just seems like everything is better when you're not doing what you're trying to do. Verse 7 says, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Like it's just something that they have the right to oppress someone else to get what they want. It's just they're in another realm. And all of this type of influences are things that causes you and I to be affected. And we begin to look around and wonder, is it worth it? I'm spinning my wheels, maybe, you say. I feel like that I'm not really accomplishing what I would like to accomplish in life. Maybe I'm talking from a man's perspective, but maybe you sisters can relate to that too. It says, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Walketh through the earth. You know, there's people today that in their wonderful, noteworthy accomplishments and all of the accolades that the world will put on them, there are some that will acknowledge that God enabled them to be able to be successful. But we're in a time in our world that many of them might say that God doesn't have anything to do with it. It's all them. They feel completely lifted up. And that's the society. That's the pressures that's against us all around us. They set their mouth against the heavens. Seems like they feel very confident in speaking out against the Lord. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, the songwriter says, the transcriber says, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. We can begin to feel discouraged and destitute. We'll begin to feel that you have spent your life in vain. But it said, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. You know, another place tells us that I ought to put a guard or a watch upon my mouth. We can portray the good that God is to Israel, to the saved, in such a manner that it would cause the next generation, it said here, the generation of thy children, the next generation to not consider it as a worthy calling. And I want to challenge us tonight, in the face of the world that we live in, that seems to, if I can say it this way, thumb their nose at God, and the ones that seem to be prospering exponentially, whether it's through wicked devices or whether it's promoting themselves and their own abilities and all of those things, right in the midst of that, I want to caution us about painting the life of a Christian as something less than desirable. Because I want us to notice, he says in verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. There are things that are painful when we consider them. And we begin to think about all of the ins and outs of life and the water that's went under the bridge and the things that we have made decisions on and we have chosen to stand for or stand against. All of those things can be a heavy thing on us. It says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. You know, as I was thinking about the opportunity that I have to be here tonight, to be in this meeting with you folks, I want you to know that I thought to myself, I need that. I need to go because I feel the pressure. Just like you feel the pressure. You see the things that's going on around us. You see the things that people are doing right in the face, you might say, of God. People that are turning 180 degrees and going the opposite way. Prosperity, following them, accolades of men. And you think, Lord, have I been doing the right thing? Is it really worth it? You know, the devil wants to wear us down. He wants to cause us to feel that we've made a bad choice, and he wants us to paint a picture so the other ones coming on behind you, young people and children that's coming on, will have a different perspective than what they should have. I don't want to paint a picture like that. I want you to know that God, truly God, is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. The ones with a clean heart are the ones that keep themselves above and away from and distance from all of those things we were reading about that the writer said, these are the things that caused me to almost slip because I was looking on the things that was around us. It's easy for us to get our eyes off of things that is a long-term goal and begin to observe what's right there under our feet and right in our face and the things that's rubbing our all on our shoulders and the things that causes us to have to reckon with and make decisions on a daily basis. And the devil would like to wear us down to the point that we paint a picture that's not the picture that God would have us to paint. He goes on to say, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. He's talking about the end of those that chose to go a path that's away from the Lord. Those that appear to be successful now in their earthly ambitions and in their personal selfish endeavors and the ones that seem to be disregarding God altogether. He says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. Well, think about the song that we have that I believe some of the words say, talking about being lost in the night. You know what it's like to be lost in the night? For it to be so dark that you can't perceive which way is the right way. It's easy to get disoriented. That's the way. That's the end of those that disregard the Lord, that choose to allow themselves to get in such a slippery place. Dear ones, I want to challenge you, those of you that live close by that happen to come tonight, make the sacrifices to be here tomorrow. Make the those of you that come a distance, make the sacrifices, all the sacrifices you can, to be in the place where God will meet with his people all you can. You need to shore up and reestablish and reconcile those things that seem to be causing you to lose some traction and lose some of your momentum in living for him. He says, as a dream when one awaketh, so Lord, that when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Talking about those that have turned away from him. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. I want the Lord to hold me by the right hand. I want to be able to be in that place that I can be. It says, I was pricked in my reins. I don't know much about driving horses in a buggy or anything like that, but I know reins is something that when you have an animal that is trained and obedient and willing, just a very small adjustment to the reins is sending a message of what the driver wants. And I want to be in a place that the Lord can make a small adjustment to the reins that he has connected to me. And I'll be able to respond and realize I'm getting too close to something that's slippery. I'm letting something come into my life that would cause me to lose the place that I'm in. It says, nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. I want the Lord to guide me with his counsel. I don't want to be counseled by the world to the point. I just don't want to be counseled by the world. We'll just leave it like that. I remember when I was young, I can still remember back that far, that, you know, when you're in the public school system, they have something called counselors. And they want to come in and look at maybe your grades and look at the classes you've taken. And then they want to sit down and talk to you about career paths. And I remember those conversations. And I remember the struggles that I had back then. And maybe I could have chosen a different path. I know I could have chosen a different path. I'm confident that I could have took a different direction in life. If I had of, the chances of me standing here tonight would not be very good. The chances of me getting on a slippery path that would have taken me down another path. I could have been one of those that you looked on. Maybe. Probably. Most likely could have been one of those that you looked on and said, my, look at what they accomplished. But it wouldn't have the things that I consider valuable tonight. It says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. I want the kind of counsel that'll keep me away from the slippery places. You know, the pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, we know him as Christian. As he went along the way, he met some places that he got some instruction. He got some counsel. He was shown some things that happened to others. So I wanted to give us some advice tonight, those that have gone on before us and would probably say the same thing to us tonight. Find somebody that's been down the road a little longer than you have and ask them, tell me how to avoid discouragement. Tell me how to avoid some pitfalls. Tell me how you avoided some of those temptations. Seek for some counsel that'll help you along life's way. It says this type of counsel, it says, will guide us, and afterwards he'll receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Doesn't that put things in perspective? You know, we started this out by him saying, I recognize that the Lord is good to Israel. But as for me, I'd been looking around and I began to realize that I was slipping. And I was beginning to lose my ability to move forward. And it says here, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. You remember what was it Peter that said when Jesus turned and looked at him and said, will you go away also? And he said, Lord, where would we go? I got all of my eggs in this basket. You know, the world will counsel you to be diversified, and that's a subject for another discussion. But, you know, we can spread our interest around to where we lose grip on the things that's important. So I want us to be careful. It says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My abilities is going to let me down. It says my flesh and my heart faileth. My ability to perform in my occupation is physically declining. I know that because I did a job just this past week, and partway through it, it was like, I just don't know why this is so hard. When I'm laying on my back and my feet's up in the air and I got my arm poked back in a hole, and it's like, and then I drop my wrench. And the only way out is to get back up and run around and fish it out with a magnet and then get back in that same position again. It's like, Lord, I'm just not as young as I used to be. And I noticed on the way down here, I got some sore spots I haven't had in a while. It says, my flesh and my heart faileth. I recognize that's where I'm at. And it's what I hear is it only gets worse from here on out. But it says, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God can keep my heart in tune with him. As long as I don't let my perspective stray off to those things that will cause me to begin to slip and lose my ground. It says, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. They go lusting after the things that the world has to offer. There's destruction out there, and they're going to perish. But it's good for me to draw near to God. It's good for you to come to this setting and draw near to God. It's good for you to lay aside the things that would stand between you and being in the service of the Lord. He says, I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. I want to declare all his works. I want to be faithful at my post of duty. I want you to take this little sack lunch and ask the Lord to multiply it and meet your needs. You pray for me.